days have different significance, don't they? Is it anybody's birthday today or wedding anniversary? I know it was somebody's wedding anniversary last week, wasn't it? So.
Hey.
Wedding anniversary, yeah.
This morning we are blessed by having a variety of people here from France, from Germany, even across the A12 Methodist Church. today is June the 1st, first day of summer, if you haven't realised that. So the first day of summer today. For some who like to know what happens on this day in history, in 1926, Marilyn Monroe was born. it's the second Sunday of Easter this year. It's the festival, ancient festival of the first fruits. We call it Congregation Sunday in this country, and there are a few churches where you'll go and beat the bounds, they call it, beat the parish boundaries, probably to decide how much money they get tithes from, like your side of the situation. But also, which whereabouts people responsible for the parish look after. Some of you may have been here long enough to remember, Harry will, we used to troop out the church on this Sunday. We used to go and bless the fields and the animals outside. That's a long time ago, but it was part we used to do that. It's Thursday, as you've heard, was Ascension Day. And today we celebrate the Feast of Ascension. And it's an important day in Jesus' ministry, wasn't it? And it's confirmed that he actually conquered death and returned to God to intercede for us. The first reading contains Jesus' final words that are really very full of promise. You will rejoice when the Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
We receive opposition. And this can be particularly alarming to some new Christians, because a few of them think that when they become a Christian, their troubles are all gone. They're free of troubles. Well, that's probably furthest from the truth, if the case be known. And, you know, we have passages like from Ephesians 6, which are really can be quite alarming to people. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But if you go on to words from Romans, where Paul writes, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Well, if you're in a storm, it doesn't seem right somehow. It just doesn't seem believable that somehow that is going to work out for your good. Now, this letter from Peter is written while he's in Rome, and it's to the Christian believers who are in northwest Turkey on the edge of the Black Sea. And it is evident from looking at the whole letter that they are actually going through some difficult times, because they're not conforming with the ways of the world. They're living a different lifestyle. Their approach is different, and they're being criticized for it. But also, the letter is written in AD 64, and that is when there was a fire in Rome, and the Christians got blamed for it, and the persecutions were starting to spread out from Rome throughout the whole empire, and there would be tremendous opposition and persecution going to take place. And this letter is not the only one. There's a lot of letters in the New Testament where the Christians are really under struggle. They're under pressure. So against this backdrop, it's not surprising that Peter used the verb suffer 12 times. Actually, the word suffer is only used 42 times in the whole of the New Testament. Excuse me, pages start together. Do any of you remember a chap called Malcolm Muggeridge, who died a long, long time ago? He was a rather weird bloke, I used to think he was. But he said something quite remarkable near the end of his life. The only thing that taught one anything is suffering. Not success, not happiness, not anything like that. The only thing that really teaches one about what life's about is suffering. The only thing that teaches what life is about is suffering. Again, seems a rather strange statement, but it's so true. You know, in much of the world, well, we're lucky here, but in much of the world, the majority of the Christians are really suffering. You may have heard the news yesterday about the Sudanese doctor, Miriam Ibrahimian, 27 years old, who was in prison. She had to give birth. She gave birth to a child still shackled. And she's under death threat because she has decided to marry, or she's married, a Christian. Her parents were sort of, her mother was a Christian, her father was Muslim. Father went off, but they're getting her under apostasy laws. And she's under a lot of pressure. There's also a guy, a Baptist minister, who went into North Korea, Kim Jong-wook, or something like that, who's potentially could face a death threat as well because of teaching the, bringing the word of God to the people of North Korea. We don't have those problems, but we do have issues which can really test our faith, test our resolve. You know, we go through a series of, life is full of trials, let's be honest about it, unless you live in a somewhat unreal bubble of protection. You know, those people have problems with relationships, they're a bit betrayed by close friends, financial challenges, difficulties, trouble at work, unemployment, you know, family breakups, caring for elderly parents, loss of one's health, bereavement, and it goes on. You know, you got those problems? Had those problems? Eyesight's going, eight bones are aching, whatever. In chapter 1, verse 3, Peter sets out where our hope comes from. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So even if we lose our life, we have a better one to come. Turning to our reading, there are four main points of the first section I want to bring out to you. The first one is, verse 12 tells us, hard times develop our character. And he writes, dear friends, which really means those who are deeply loved by God, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. Instead of having why me, it's really why not me. Most people always say, why me? It's not fair. Why me? If you remember James, his verse 3 of chapter 1 wrote, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Paul wrote to the Romans, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. The second point from that reading, first part of the reading, is in verses 13 to 14, hard times bring us closer to God. If our trials are because of our faith, we are sharing in the opposition that Jesus went through. Wherever he went, he faced opposition for speaking the word of God. Secondly, it's rather like the footprints poem. We are often unable to see God's hand of support. But when we look back, it is plain. He has carried us. And when you see that, it brings you joy and strengthens your faith. Thirdly, because in those times, it's when the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, I don't know about you, but it's very easy to operate in your own strength and own skills, your own confidence. You can be overconfident at what you can cope with anything. But it's only when you're really up against it that you lay down that pride you've got, that big fellow in the corner, that big pride, and you really talk to God properly. Now, I can think of a few times when I've really cried out in desperation to God. In April 2005, Joy's health was causing me particular stress and real problems. And I was up against it. And one night, I laid awake in bed, and I tried to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Where's the light? But looking, all I saw was a blacker darkness. And my heart just called out for God, right from deep down. In the morning, I was cleaning my teeth. And God spoke to me so clearly, it was virtually audible. And I knew that whatever happened, he will be there for me, and that I will cope. It won't take it away, but he will be there. Now, I hold on to that, because that trial is always ongoing. And when we draw close to God, he honours it. And sometimes things aren't easy. As a lot of you know, I had trouble with my eyes, accident, 2010. And end of the second week, I was going virtually daily to see to the eye department. And it wasn't a good morning. Despite having lots of medication, increasing amounts of medication, the pressure on this eye was four times the pressure on this eye, which is not a good situation to be in. And they sent me out of the room, the two consultants, while they could have a cup of coffee while they chatted about me. And to be honest with you, I lost it. I lost it. Wasn't in a good place at all. And I sat down, had my cup of coffee, and I remembered a previous situation when I was going through a difficult time. And I made myself sing the song we sing at the end here, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I sang all the words that I could think of, and I was just praising God. And I tell you something, my peace came back to me. I don't know how it did it, but it came back. The third point from this first reading is verse 15. Hard times lead us to serious self-examination. You know, often our trials and troubles are because of our own actions, our own faults. You know, if you've got health problems because you're having too much alcohol, smoking, or eating all the wrong foods, well, you've got an option. If you've upset people, you have an option. You have an option to go and apologise for a start. You can think about thinking before you speak or whatever else. We have to look at ourselves when things are going wrong. Is there anything that we have done to help a point? You know, we have to be self-controlled. Earlier in his letter, Peter wrote, be self-controlled, be holy, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. We are to be like Jesus and not retaliate when we're hurt. And verse 17, it says also, we should not be ashamed if we suffer because we're Christians. The fourth point I'm going to say is, hard times teach us to trust God in new ways. You know, he says it, commit ourselves to God and continue to do good. So I'm trying to figure out, realize that without God, we can't change anything. Our faith is the toolbox we have in times of trial. And the second part of the letter from Peter's letter gives us further clues. Verse 6 said, humble yourselves. Verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Verse 8, be self-controlled. Verse 9, stand firm in the faith. Verse 10, it's full of promise. After suffering a little while, God will restore us, making us strong, firm, and steadfast. You know something? People notice how Christians struggle with adversity. It's often in our weakest times we can have the greatest spiritual strength that cuts more ice than with a non-believer, than any message from somebody in a point of comfort. Phyllis is physically weak, but her hope is that everything brings glory to Jesus. That's her wish, that everything brings glory to Jesus. You know, she was talking the other day about when her daughter died. She just didn't want, she wasn't praying at the end, she wasn't praying for healing. She just prayed that it would bring glory to Jesus. In preparing this talk, I came across a quotation from 17th century Scottish minister Robert Leighton. Adversity is the diamond dust heaven polishes its jewels with. Say it again. Adversity is the diamond dust heaven polishes its jewels with. Now, some erroneously have attributed that to Thomas Carlyle, who lived 200 years later. Actually, diamonds are polished by diamond dust. I didn't know that. Now, a lump of coal, if you put it under enough pressure and enough heat, you'd actually get a diamond. You know, a lump of coal is useful and it's beneficial, but it's not the same value and same respect as a diamond. And we need to be turned into diamonds. A frequent question people ask is, why does God allow suffering and evil? I'm sorry, it's just the way of the fallen world. But take heart. Our faith grows and strengthens when tested by fire, and when polished, it sparkles, reflecting the light of Jesus. So if you're going through a difficult time, take heart. You do not have to be like a lady that my daughter prayed for this week. This lady is going through bone cancer. She goes to church a bit. This woman is like a rabbit in the headlight, car headlights. Absolutely scared stiff. But instead, just go before God. Just share to God all the troubles and fears in your heart. Things that you don't even share with your nearest and dearest. Because often we hold things back from our nearest and dearest, so as not to hurt them, not to worry them, not to cause them pain. But share it with Jesus. Spend time in prayer and reading. Just trust God. Trust Him. Keep your eyes on the cross. And never stop praising God and blessing Him for all that you have. I'd like to close in prayer. Lord, you know our pains. You know our struggles. You know our fears. Lord, we acknowledge that you are the Lord of our life, and we submit ourselves again to your will. We ask that you come alongside us now, whatever the challenges we face, whatever the difficulties, whatever those fears that we have, just come alongside us, pray now, Lord. And just make your presence felt. Amen.